You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
It's 1 o'clock. We are in Atlanta, Georgia, from America's Web Radio, the most eclectic conservative shows in the webcasting, and this is Let's Talk Venezuela. We're waiting for Josie. She must be delayed by traffic, but we are with the legend, David Moxley, and Brett, our engineer. We are testing a lot of new techniques. Yes, the legend. During this week, we had a lot of news that has to be of Venezuelan interest, and a lot of things that are happening right now, even in the United States. Hello, David. How are you?
Bien, gracias. ¿Y tú?
His Spanish is better than my English, definitely.
No.
Well, let's go with the disclaimer, the number one, please.
Oh, okay. We will do it right now.
This news at Let's Talk Venezuelan comes to you courtesy of the Red Alternativa Capitalista de Información, the Alternative Capitalist Information Network. Look for us as a group on Facebook. And to the generous donations of listeners of this station, www.americaswebradio.com.
It's about one company, a petroleum company, that is leaving Venezuela. The name of the company is INPEX. Please roll the number two.
Japan's INPEX sells Venezuela's oil and gas assets to local groups. INPEX Corp. sold two Venezuelan oil and gas assets to Caracas-based Sucre Energy Group. Three people familiar with the transaction said. As multinational companies pull out of the crisis hit OPEC nation, Sucre, a private exploration and production company that focuses on upgrading mature fields in Latin America, bought INPEX's 70% stake in the partnership of natural gas Gas Guarico with state oil company PDVSA, as well as its 30% stake in the Petro Guarico oil joint venture, said the people, who spoke on condition of anonymity because the agreement was not yet public. INPEX declined to comment. Neither Sucre nor PDVSA responded to requests for comment. The three people declined to specify the value of the transaction. INPEX is the latest in a string of major oil companies to abandon once promising assets in Venezuela, home to some of the world's largest crude reserves but plagued by hyperinflation, corruption, and U.S. sanctions targeting government officials. To overthrow President Nicolas Maduro, labeled a dictator by Washington. In recent weeks, Total Energies of France and Equinor ASA of Norway exited their Petrosigeno joint venture with PDVSA, citing the high carbon density of the project's extra heavy crude. Both companies maintained their stakes in the Venezuelan gas fields. A consortium of Japanese companies, including INPEX, also recently abandoned its 5% stake in the Petro Independencia joint venture with PDVSA, Reuters reported in June. Sucre's entry shows how local companies are increasingly filling the void left by multinationals in the oil sector and beyond, as the government reduces intervention in the economy and restrictions on the private sector in hopes of attracting investment in the face of sanctions. Sucre has invested in Ecuador's oil sector and is co-owner of a Paris-based subsidiary of Morel et Prom, which in 2018 bought Royal Dutch Shell's 40% stake in Petroregional del Lago, an oil company. Joint venture with PDVSA in western Venezuela. The company was most interested in Gas Guarico, which produces about 50 million cubic feet a day of natural gas, but agreed to buy the stake in Petroguarico, as well as part of the deal, the people said. Venezuelan gas fields may be more attractive to investors than oil-focused projects because private companies can have majority stakes and operate the fields, the people said. Venezuelan law requires PDVSA to own most of the joint oil ventures with private companies. Venezuela has huge gas reserves but a limited infrastructure to process and transport them, which means it cannot export to its neighbors. Only 10% of the population has a gas connection to their homes. Much of the gas produced along with the oil is burning at open flamers, a significant source of carbon emissions. Sucre expects rallies in Venezuela's petrochemical, energy, and heavy industry sectors after a half-decade economic collapse, which is a source of growing demand for gas, one of the people said. Venezuela could emerge as a gas supplier to neighboring Colombia and Trinidad and Tobago in the long term. Luke Cohen reported in New York with the collaboration of Aaron Sheldrick in Tokyo, written by Rosalba O'Brien for Reuters.
That was a note from Reuters, yeah. Well, as you can hear, Venezuela companies are leaving Venezuela and selling their assets to local companies. The question is, who are these people of private companies based in Caracas when you have an economy that is in shackles? It's a good question. Who's behind this thing? Many boliburgueses, bolienchufados, the Agustino Group. You know, there is a lot of questions. There are more questions than answers in this kind of operations. Because, you know, it's suspicious that a Japanese company that has to do a lot of work with other countries, we just remember that Japanese Inpex began as an offshore operation in Indonesia with the Japanese and in the 60s, and they began the operation in a very humble way. In less than 50 years, this company Inpex is one of the most prestigious companies that has to do with heavy oils and gas, and suddenly they sell their operations in Venezuela. Something is smell rotten in that operation, really, because you know, it's a local company. If you say that is an, I don't know, Chinese company or Middle East company, but a Venezuelan company, that's very strange, really. And I promise that I will be investigating who is in the back on this Venezuelan company, private Venezuelan company. You know, David, that investing in the oil industry requires a lot of money. It's not something that you can invest like a house. This is one of the very heavy industries in the world, and a private Venezuelan company, after 20 years of bad economy, that thing that somebody in the government is taking by himself or herself the oil industry in Venezuela. Who's behind this? I don't know. When I read the note, I said, this is very suspicious. This sounds like corruption. And who knows if this company is also one of those ghost companies that only exist in paper, you know? But in the note says that they were involved in operations in Ecuador. But recently in Ecuador, there were some scandal from the government. Says that the last government that were socialist, they sold some properties to people near of their way of thinking. So it's very suspicious. It's very suspicious because, you know, at the end of the line, people suffering in Venezuela because the money is not flowing. And the money is not flowing because the government is taking everything away from the liberties, individual liberties, and most important, the financial liberties. In the political advice, we have something that is named the Nolan graphic that indicates your position using the liberties as reference for percentage of liberties, either in the side of individual liberties or in the side of financial liberties. And socialism, communism is in the bottom of this graphic because it denies either the financial liberties for the people or the individual liberties for the people. It's what we name the totalitarian regimes. And with that, we have to understand that liberty is the only thing important. With the fall of Kabul, for example, we will see again the cut of liberties for that people in Afghanistan, and it's very sad. By the way, how many Americans kept in Afghanistan that they couldn't leave that country? David, do you have the numbers?
No, I don't.
You don't have those numbers. It's very sad. We were eyewitness, and what we will confront from now on. We went to a war to finish the Taliban, and the Taliban is still in power again.
Well, they are in power, and we're already seeing the results of what Biden left behind. It's already at the Texas borders, and it's going to get nasty. Yeah. Texas is not going to put up with it. And if we have to call out the guard and heavy equipment, heavy artillery, uh-huh, we will. We can't let our border, our Department of Public Safety, our Border Patrol, and our military, for that matter, the Texas National Guard, we can't let them be fired at and not return fire anymore. And there's going to be a lot to pay for Biden's mistake.
Yeah, I don't think it's a mistake. I think he did it on purpose. I'm in the hashtag Biden is not my president. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because I consider him a product of a big fraud.
What he's done is treasonous as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
He's committed treason. He should be arrested, and he should be court-martialed. Not just impeached, but court-martialed.
Yeah.
Because he is a commander-in-chief,
of
and
course.
He swore an oath to protect and defend our Constitution, which is our people.
Yes.
And he has let down his country as well as many other countries around the world, and he should pay for it, and pay royally.
Yes, I agree 100%. It's sad what in my whole life, I never thought that this kind of situation would be. And he's blaming President Trump of his incompetences, you know, and with this thought, we're going into a commercial break.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Hi. This is Rocky Blair, former four-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Vietnam veteran. As a board member, I'd like to talk to you about Warriors to Citizen, a nonprofit organization that helps American heroes, soldiers, police, fire, EMT, and their families recover from the psychological harm caused by career-induced stress. Over the last 20 years, broken relationships have been a major causal factor for the highest documented divorce rate and resulting suicides in this population. This program, From Warriors to Citizen, is delivered free to families by professionals, all whom served in uniform and understand the needs to be addressed. I ask for your support. So please, go to our website, warriorstocitizen.org, and find out how you can help, either by making a donation or sharing this information with an American hero that you may know. And thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
360 Venezuelans have been murdered in Colombia so far in 2021.
This is Let's Talk Venezuelan. Well, the next news is the number 3, and it has to do with what is going on with the people who takes advantage of the situation of Venezuela, because it's not only Venezuelans, it's a web of people of corruption that touch everybody, Democrats, Republicans, Chinese, Russians, Cubans, Iranians, you know. And in this case, it's very sad because this guy used to be a very important politician in South Florida. It's an ex-Miami congressman that, even though there is an embargo against Venezuelan petroleum companies in United States, he broke the law. And not only broke the law, but he has the nerve to demand that Venezuela has to pay him when he's breaking the law. Go with number 3, please.
Ex-Miami congressman countersues over work with Venezuela. Miami, a note from Associated Press. A former Miami congressman, who was once roommates with Senator Marco Rubio, has countersued a U.S. affiliate of Venezuela's state oil company in a politically charged dispute over a $50 million consulting contract he signed with Nicolas Maduro's government. David Rivera's Inter-American Consulting filed the counterclaim in New York federal court Thursday against Delaware-registered PDV USA, alleging breach of contract, or unjust enrichment, for its failure to pay the $30 million balance of the agreed-to fee. The contract with Rivera appeared when allies of Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido worked with the Justice Department to uncover corrupt dealings at another Venezuelan-owned U.S. subsidiary, Houston-based Citgo, which for years operated as a cash cow for that country's ruling party. Parallel to the lawsuit, federal prosecutors looked into whether Rivera and other recipients of large contracts with Venezuela were engaged in unregistered foreign lobbying for Maduro. A Guaido-appointed board wrested control of Citgo, the sixth-largest independent U.S. refiner after the Trump administration recognized him as Venezuela's rightful leader in 2019. A lawsuit filed last year against Rivera by Citgo's lawyers argues the former legislator performed almost no work as part of the $50 million contracts to improve the state oil company's reputation in the U.S. At the time, Maduro was trying to curry favor with the Trump administration, avoiding outright criticism of the U.S. leader while funneling $500,000 to his inaugural committee through Citgo. Rivera, in his countersuit, argues that he was hired by Citgo, not PDVSA, as the state oil company is known, to develop a strategic plan to develop an independent identity separate from its controversial parent. While the amount was deemed suspiciously high by Citgo's new management, Rivera argues that considering the billions of dollars at stake with Citgo's public and business stature in jeopardy, Citgo deemed the fee reasonable. But PDVSA, the affiliate that managed the contract, never paid the final $30 million owed him under the agreement. Rivera says he performed all the necessary work and only received objections when the Venezuelan opposition controlled PDVSA's U.S. assets. Lawyers for Citgo did not immediately return a request for comment. Rivera is a former high-ranking state legislator, who shared a house in Tallahassee with Rubio, the state House Speaker at the time. Since then, his name has appeared in several election-related controversies. Like, orchestrating the stealth funding of an unknown Democratic candidate to take on his main rival in a South Florida congressional race and a state investigation into whether he hit a $1 million contract with a gambling company. He has never been charged with a crime. Rivera served a single term in Congress in 2011 to 2013. During that time-honored Venezuelan exiles fleeing socialist rule and co-sponsored legislation seeking to withhold funding from the Organization of American States even confronted then-President Hugo Chavez for allegedly violating Venezuela's constitution.
It's funny, isn't it, that a guy from the United States who once belonged to the U.S. Congress broke the law, making business with the company that is blockade by the United States and charging $50 million to improve the image of the Venezuelan petroleum company through Citgo, you know? Citgo is part of PDVSA. Citgo is a transnational company with what we know as a transnational company. So any kind of contract that you do with that company, even though it's based in Texas, is must be passed through the Treasury Department and the State Department, and this guy didn't comply with that situation, and he knows better than I don't know as an answer, because he used to be the guy who brought Venezuelan exiliates to Washington D.C. and to say, you know, he's against Chavez, he's against Maduro, but now he's making business, big business, with the enemy. And that's unacceptable. He was born in New York from Cubans refugees, and he by principle, he must be more conscious of the damage that he's producing. And he has the nerve to go to court and say, hey, this Venezuelan company owned by the Venezuelan government is owed me $30 million out of a contract of a $50 million that I signed with them. Hey, what is going on, my friend? What's happening here? Huh? David, this is sad. This is sad because he's supposed to be a Republican and with the Republican values, and his actions said, no way.
You know, as Trump said, D.C. is made up of swamp. And, you know, here is a perfect example of someone that took an oath, doesn't believe in it. His way or the highway, and, you know, everything he does is right, and anything that anybody else does is wrong. And we have to clean Washington up. If we're ever going to save this country, we have to clean Washington up. And this is just one. I'm sure there are another thousand stories just like this of some sort, you know, where money and me are more important than anything else.
Definitely. Definitely. But it's sad because right now you lost the faith. You know, when you see rigged elections, corruption such this one, when you see what happened with the actual guy who's sitting in the White House, you said, what is going on? Because we're paying 50% more on gasoline because he cut off the oil pipeline project. Right now in Louisiana, we have a very deep problem with the refineries because they don't have electricity and they don't have either enough oil to process. Do you know what that means? That 30% of the gasoline production in the United States right now is stopped. And we have the problem in Afghanistan again. It's the first time that the United States lost a war, a just war. We went to Afghanistan to not only to stop the Talibans, but we were to Afghanistan to create a more secure world. And we abandoned not only the Afghans. There is a lot of American cities left behind. And the most important, we abandoned our allies in the military. You know, Spain, France, England, you know, that's sad. Okay, and with this idea, we are going into a break. Take it away, please.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment, and what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key. And the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Well, in the last section, we hear about the news of this ex-Miami congressman doing business with the Maduro's regime. It's sad. And the consequences of the Maduro regime, the consequences of socialism, is what we are witness right now in Venezuela. That is that people is fleeing. It's fleeing to everywhere in the world. And the most sad question in this quest is the consequences, because a lot of people loses their lives. The next note has to be with the people who died in Colombia, Venezuelan people who died in Colombia during this crisis. And take it away, this is the number
360 Venezuelans have been murdered in Colombia so far in 2021. Ursula Montenegro, Venezuela Informative Red. The Consultancy for Human Rights and Displacement reported this Wednesday, August 25th, that between January 2015 and December 2020, there were 1,933 homicides of Venezuelan migrants and refugees. The institution that promotes respect for victims' rights in Colombia added that 360 Venezuelans had been murdered so far in 2021. It adds that between January 2015 and August 2020, 2,300 Venezuelan citizens were victims of sexual violence, and 836 people were reported missing. They also note that armed groups forcibly recruited between 2017 and 2020, 33 children from Venezuela, and 1,650 people were displaced. This information, released during a virtual forum called Effects and Rights of the Venezuelan Population, which was attended by various experts on the subject. The situation of the military and police who migrated from Venezuela is worrying because they are the most desired to recruit criminal gangs in Bolivar, said Annabel Brines of the UN Solo Pueblo Foundation. One of the main factors that expose the refugee and migrant population is their ignorance as subjects of rights. People are unaware of the mechanisms to demand their rights, said Laura Zambrano from the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. For his part, Eugene Cooper, representative of the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, said that adopting the temporary protection statute for Venezuelans in Colombia gives migrants an opportunity for integration. The regularization will allow these people to make visible what has happened to them. We hope this is a conversation that continues beyond this meeting and allows us to continue together, he said. In this sense, Cooper affirmed that USAID's Office of Response and Integration of Venezuela in Colombia supports the efforts of that country in promoting respect for human rights and access to justice for the Venezuelan migrant population.
Well, you can see that the situation of the Venezuelan people in Colombia is very harsh, but it's not fault of the Colombian people or the Colombian government. It's a situation that the Colombian government and people are suffering for the last 60 years. You know, the guerrilla, the violence, the drugs, everything is part of the same soup. So when you bring over Venezuelan people, is one more ingredient on this soup. You know, it's very concerning. There are a lot of people who is trying to improve the the situation of the Venezuelan citizens that migrate to Colombia, but the actual conditions in Colombia do not allow this kind of help. They do what they can do, but Colombia is a very, very big country with a lot of population. It's, I think it's the second most populated Spanish-speaking country in Latin America, just behind Mexico. And that creates a very complex situation. It's sad that in just in less than a year, because these 360 people are murdered in Colombia, is the account that goes from January to here. And it's very, very, very sad what we see. And we will see the same things with people of Afghanistan. You will see people in the borders in Pakistan and other countries. They already have camps in the Middle East, and we don't know, as an Americans, what we can do with them, because it's a lot of people who collaborated in good faith with the United States Armed Force in the reconstruction of Afghanistan. The way that Mr. Biden acted during this week was shameful, not only because of the fall of Kabul, no, it's the way that he treat the families of the fallen. There is an internet everywhere, the declaration of the mother of one of the fallen heroes, one of the 13 American troops that fall in Kabul with the bomb. And he was, during the ceremony, having an attitude that it is shameful when you see the President of the United States paying more attention to his watch than to the ceremony. And when this lady talked to the President rolled his eyes. And that reminds me something that happens 15 years ago in Venezuela. During that time, three children, the Fadul family, were kidnapped. Mr. Fadul, and he was a Canadian, a Lebanese origin executive, and his family was kidnapped. The three children and their chauffeur were assassinated after about a week of negotiations with the kidnappers. And when Mrs. Fadul reclaimed what happened with her family, Mr. Chavez had the nerve to tell her, quit the whining and let those boys rest in peace. Do you know something? We need to have, we need to begin to ask some questions. Is this kind of government what we want? Because it's not only treason where we are talking about. We are talking about the families of all fallen heroes that were insulted with the attitude with Mr. Biden. And that's not right. You know, it's not right. As David just told us, he is the commander-in-chief in name, okay? I do not recognize him as the president of the United States. My hashtag is Biden is not my president, because it was demonstrated that at least in Georgia, in Fulton County, we had a huge fraud placed over there. And we will have very soon the inform on that matter. And what do you think, my friend? What do you think about all of this?
Well, I think it's a matter that people have to start educating themselves to what's going on around them. And we see this day in and day out, that we have all the tools in the world to be the most educated populace ever, and yet people are too lazy to find out. It's like I was talking to Brett earlier today, and you know, when I moved here, the gentleman that could, we all thought, could walk on water, Sam Nunn, if you really looked at his record, he was no hawk. He voted very liberally many times, and he'd voted not far, but, well, or he didn't vote for the military in many cases. And I started looking up his records, and, you know, everybody you'd talk to, oh, Sam, we're lucky to have Sam Nunn. Well, as it turns out, we weren't that lucky. And this is where we are today, that people have to start educating themselves. What is socialism? What is Marxism? What is fascism? What is communism? And, right. You know, if we continue the road that we're going down, what has happened under Biden will be, it'll obviously already go down in history now, and if we turn into a socialistic state, you can kiss your medical facilities goodbye, you can kiss everything goodbye. And to have a commander-in-chief that has performed like Biden has, and to have giggles behind him laughing at the border situation,
yeah,
is just, it's all ludicrous, and it has to stop. And I support the folks that can stop it and put an end to it. If we were to get a news flash today, that would be fine with me.
Yep. Yeah. It's sad. Is that what we are with? It's not only what happened in Venezuela, but the United States, until 10 days ago, was the lighthouse of the world. And suddenly they cut off the electricity on that lighthouse. And we mean nothing, not only for the rest of the world, but a lot of people felt as I feel. You know, it's sad.
Well, you know, there used to be a time that every American, you know, proud to say, I'm an American.
Yes.
I'm an American. Now, at my age, I'm ashamed of America. And it's not, I'm not ashamed of our military. I love our military.
Oh, yes.
I'm ashamed of our leader and our leaders who let this go so far out of hand. And Biden is, will be proven to be the poorest, the worst president that the United States has ever had. And, you know, if he had acted, you know, I can't fault him for Kabul going down so fast. I don't know. I'm not in that position. But he could have reacted by not giving him the weaponry that he has given him. If we had sent the 82nd Airborne in and the 101st, we'd have our equipment, and Taliban would have nothing. If you put a price on their head, you say, you know, it's open season on Taliban, we would be in much better stead today than we are. And we'd have the respect of the nations.
Yes.
That we don't have today.
Definitely. And with these last words, we are going into a commercial break.
If you live to serve and want to make an even bigger difference, consider joining the U.S. Army with training in fields like medical care, linguistics, and engineering. An Army career can amplify your efforts with humanitarian opportunities all over the world. Plus, you'll receive competitive pay and incredible benefits, so you'll be taken care of, too. Learn more at GoArmy.com.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rick White, and I'm the director of the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame. I want to encourage all Georgia veterans to consider being nominated to the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame. And if you are a Georgia veteran, and the definition of a Georgia veteran is either you were born in the state of Georgia, or you've lived here 10 years, or you were raised your right hand and joined the military in this state, you are considered a Georgia veteran. For further information, go to www.gmbhof.org, or you can contact me at 678-427-0915. We'd love to have your nomination for the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame. Thank you so much.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay. The next note is very sad also, but has some tints of good humor. Okay, this happens in Hawaii and involves a Venezuelan national, a Venezuelan citizen. And it's sort kind of funny, but it's also sort kind of shameful for the people of Venezuela. Like you said, it's a lack of education and doing things that involves the whole community when you did wrong.
Venezuelan was arrested while trying to steal an ambulance plane in Hawaii. The 24-year-old is charged with 5 crimes, and bail was set at $37,000. The National Security Investigations Office opened federal charges against the Venezuelan. A Venezuelan citizen was arrested on Friday when he tried to steal an ambulance plane from the city of Hilo, the largest population center on the Big Island of Hawaii. The incident occurred when Gabriel Arjona Molina, a Venezuelan national, tried to steal an ambulance plane around 1:30 p.m. on Friday, August 27. Although Arjona Molina was able to start the engines of the ambulance plane, the authorities were able to capture him. How was the attempted robbery of the ambulance plane in Hawaii? The young man knocked down an airport fence with his vehicle and arrived at the general aviation area. He parked the car next to a twin-engine turbine plane. Arjona Molina managed to get on the ambulance plane, which was empty, and was able to start the engines but could not move the aircraft. Meanwhile, a person inside the airport alerted the authorities, who proceeded to arrest. The ambulance plane is valued at $1,500,000. The young man was arrested by the local police, who indicated that only the airport's perimeter fence was damaged in the event. There were no planes or other vehicles affected. Neither injured nor victims to regret. He is accused of various crimes. Hawaii DA's charged Venezuelan Gabriel Arjona Molina with five crimes. They included attempted first-degree robbery, damage to public property, and trespassing on the property. Arjona Molina may also face federal charges. A special agent with Homeland Security Investigations said his office has opened a federal case against Molina, and he is expected to go to court on Wednesday. Gabriel Arjona Molina is originally from Barquisimeto. He migrated to the United States between 2014 and 2015, a couple of his friends said on condition of anonymity. The 24-year-old defines himself as a fanatic travel blogger. He posts photographs in various cities in the United States. The sources said they had lost track of the young man for a few months and claimed not to know what he was doing lately.
Okay, this he tried to steal a Beechcraft King Air. Okay, we don't know with what kind of intentions. Might be a pilot for drug trafficking, or maybe he just want to fly around the islands, you know. But the thing is that he committed a crime, a big crime, that because that involves some things that has to do with federal law. And he's only 24 years old, and maybe he do not have consciousness about what he did. Now he must be investigated. And if he is involved in drug trafficking in the islands, would be a lot of time and money behind bars. You know, it's sad because, as you see, involves a Venezuelan national. And I remember the first time I traveled abroad. My mom gave me a Venezuelan flag and told me, listen, guy, if you did something wrong outside, out of the borders, it's not you or your family who will be ashamed on your acts. It will be the whole country, because you represent the whole country abroad. I remember that when I was 8 years old. And you can see that this guy did something wrong, very wrong. I don't know, it's signs of the times that are running right now. You see a next congressman doing business with the enemy, and going into a court claiming that they owe him $30 million out of 50, and would you say something is crazy here, because he is breaking the law when he signed a contract with the Venezuelan government. And this guy, he breaks the law when he breaks the fence and tried to steal an airplane, a $1.5 million airplane that is also an emergency equipment, because it's an aero ambulance, you know? So when you see this kind of news, that I think only in America's Web Radio you will have it, you know. You said, okay, this is the world that we are living right now, and you said something is wrong, even with my education, that we've been raised in a different way, or or the world is upside down. Tell me what to do, David Moxley. Tell me.
Well, quite frankly, as bad as things are, there's only, and this is for everybody, there's only one answer, and that's pray. And,
yes.
You know, demand that we get back to one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And, you know, quite frankly, I, over the years, haven't always prayed for our country, but many times I have. But recently, it's included along with my family. And I think that's the only way, no matter what religion you are, we all have a deity. So, with that being said, did that answer your question?
Yes. And I think that we are legalizing so many things that during my infancy were not look right, and now they are normal, but we are not legalizing the U.S. Constitution. We need to legalize the U.S. Constitution again if we want to be the great nation that we were, and we were working with under the President Trump's administration. But right now we lost the path, and I don't know how to resolve this puzzle, really. So the only thing that we need to do is pray for this nation, for our families, and embrace for the worst, because open for the best. And after these words, I think it's the end of this program. Thank you, David. Thank you, Brett. And we will be here next week. Thank you very much.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.